It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
These 6:35 starts. Why don't the Yankees start a half hour early? Gives me a four-hour show, KM to 2 a.m. on the Fan, May 1st, Primero de Mayo. It's gonna be May. It's not early anymore. Don't tell me it's early now. We're in it, baby. Yankees win. The Yankees win. Play Frank. I needed that one. 3 is not the magic number. All they needed was 2 runs to win tonight. Where is Waldo when you need him? Oswaldo Cabrera provides a spark, a flair, when the game is stagnant, when you need something to happen. There he is. Go ahead, runs. That's all she wrote. See ya. Wedged into the gate in Camden Yards. And now you have the potential to split the series. 877-337-6666. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around exactly what happened here with the end of this Mets game. Like, obviously we know we've been in this era for like the last decade of catchers and catchers interference. Not catchers interference, catchers blocking the play. Like, you can't have those collisions anymore. It looked like, you know, the make-it-happen Mets were about to make it happen late in the ninth. Make it happen Martinez, J.D. Martinez. But I think they potentially got hosed here. I'm watching SNY now, the MLB blocking rule. Unless the catcher is in position of the ball, the catcher cannot block the pathway of the runner as he's attempting to score. If in the judgment of the umpire, the catcher without possession of the ball blocks the pathway of the runner, the umpire shall call or signal the runner safe. So I guess it's at the discretion of Blue behind the plate, and those guys just wanted to get up out of there. Well, you would have got up out of there. I don't know. I think the Mets were on their way to potentially walking it off. But, man, I've seen that call happen where the catcher is blocking the plate and they award the runner the run. So, I don't know. That's tough. One run game in Queens. Those City Edition jerseys, I believe the Mets are defeated in. Maybe it's because they don't have the matching pants. They have to wear these white pants. I don't know the deal, man. Fanatics, Nike, MLB, whatever. 877-337-6666. We're going to get into the Knicks. I cannot take it with the Knicks conversation. I mean, I get it, but we'll get there. So Yankee fans call me up because Corbin Burnes is on the mound tonight, and you go into that game thinking, ah, here we go. This is the guy we wanted, right? This is the guy we wanted them to trade for. Especially once Cole went down, we needed another ace. This guy's a Cy Young winner. Oh, man, it sucks. The Orioles have new ownership. They're going to be able to retain this guy. Or maybe he's a Met next year. But Corbin Burnes is like that. You know who else is like that? Luis King of the Hill. Who needs a Corbin Burnes when you've got a young ace in the making? I love that game tonight because all of these games have been close and they've been like postseason energy. Tight games between division rivals, jockeying for position atop the AL East. But I love that game tonight because there were so many little things that changed the game that could have went this way or that way. It was, you know, not a lot of hits, a little bit of a no-no. Yankees end up with 4 hits. Orioles end up with 3 hits. But I got to give props to the young man, Oswaldo Cabrera, who has cooled down. But he just has it. If you've heard me talk about him from the first time I saw the kid come up at the end of the year 2 years ago, I'm like, this young man has the clutch gene. This young man has a flair for the dramatic. He plays with a spark. He is a spark plug. And you needed that in the fifth inning, man. It's scoreless through 4. And it's getting late in the game, and they're getting up there in pitches, and you're like, come on, we gotta get something going. I mean, there were bases to be had on Corbin Burnes. You can steal on that guy all day. all night. He slowed to the plate, and the Yankees obviously had a plan to steal bases tonight. Juan Soto adding to his MVP candidacy with two stolen bases. Oswaldo also stealing bases. And, you know, with Oswaldo as well, I think I talked about the other night how, you know, when you look at the Yankees, DJ LeMahieu was supposed to be the everyday third baseman. And then when he went down, they traded for John Birdie. John Birdie went down. You know, even when John Birdie was getting every start in the Marlins series, Yankee fans like myself are like, where is Oswaldo? We don't know this guy. And we don't care that he played against the or played for the Marlins and you're putting him in there to play against them. Like, where is Oswaldo? Don't go a whole series without putting Oswaldo in the lineup because he can make an impact. And when he makes an impact like that, it makes up for his glove or his mistakes or, you know, strikeouts or the, like, four home runs, to me, erases his four errors. It's fine because they've been big home runs. They've been go-ahead runs. They've been game-changing plays. This guy affects winning. You know, opposite of, like, a Gleyber Torres, I feel like Gleyber Torres affects losing. I'm still not off of Aaron Judge. I've been on this thing with Judge since spring training. I just don't know if he's going to return to being the dominant player. You got to show me. I've seen it most of your career. But if you're not hurt and you're out there every day playing center field, left field, what is it, buddy? 0 for 4 again. He's batting 200. And Volpe is in a bad way as well. 3 Ks tonight at the top of the lineup. You guys already know what I'm going to say about Volpe, but we'll talk about the Yankees hitting. I mean, Juan Soto is just a different level of player hitter. And more, his batting average is starting to just stand out. 325. He's batting 125 points better than Aaron Judge, who's behind him. More and more, his OPS is just starting to stand out. 1014, a 1.014 OPS. This guy is just more than advertised, the way that he plays. I saw some people talking about, oh, I don't like him showing up the pitcher. Hey, that I don't mind that. That pitcher's pitching against our team. I don't care if he stares down Dean Kramer. I don't care if he's shaking his head no at Corbin Burns. He fears nobody, and they got to lock him up. He's got to be here forever. 877-337-6666. You got guys like Trent Grisham in the lineup batting 080. Verdugo, get back. I think Verdugo's back tomorrow for the day game to decide the series, and the Yankees need that. I mean, for the Mets fans, and I see you guys calling, 877-337-6666. That's a bounce-back performance by Jose Buto. He wasn't booty tonight, but he ends up getting the loss, a sac fly. That's the difference in the game. That was also a game with not a lot of offense. I think there are questions on both sides of New York about the lineup and the offense. 5 hits on both sides. Questionable end to that game. You thought that the Mets had a rally in their bones. It looked like the Mets were about to make it happen, and then the umpires were ready to get out of there. But, yeah, all in all, this Shota Imanaga guy coming out of Japan, he's better than Yamamoto. He's filthy. Watching him tonight, I'm like, he's got good stuff. He went 7 innings, 7 Ks. And, like, I know some of y'all got to be thinking about Kodai Senga and the adjustment period that he had last year and what it took for him to be competitive. This guy is undefeated with 5 wins. He only gave up 3 hits tonight, only walked 1. His ERA is 0.78. How come nobody told me Shota Imanaga was the prize? 877-337-6666. I guess because he's age 30. Yamamoto coming over here at, what, 24? There was so much hype about Yamamoto. I'm glad that he's not in New York. 25 years old, Yamamoto gets $325 million. The Cubs got one with this guy. But, yeah, other than that, you know, the Mets lose, Yankees win, and I got to talk about the Knicks. So I'll be on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. to 12. So I will be with you. I will take your calls. I will talk the talk. I will feed you information. I will be on the internet to see what it's looking like down there. Maybe we'll have some people call in from down there. This is huge. But man, I was on last night after that game got blown, which I got on thinking that game was done. We were going to celebrate last night, and it obviously turned quickly. But all day on radio, here, obviously, the other station, on TV, oh my, the complaining. And then the rehashing and the crying. Oh, Mitchell Robinson, how do you foul? Josh Hart, come on, man. Hit your free throws. Jalen Brunson taking every single shot. Come on, coach. Call a timeout. Tell them what to do. It's one game. Act like you've been here. You were just here last year. You got out of the first round last year. You went pretty deep into the second round. You went six games last year, act like you've been here. I know it's been 25 years since you clinched the series at home, but damn, the crying and the let it go. You would think that that was the final blow. You would think that that was the game to end the series. And I guess me not being a Knicks fan, I didn't lean into that last night. I leaned into, all right, well, you got to win one more game before they win two. All right, well, you're going back to the place where you last won. All right, well, Embiid is hobbled. All right, well, you're not going to get another 46-point performance out of Maxey. All right, well, it was you who were the scrappy ones. It was you who were making all the plays. The ball was bouncing your way, New York Knicks fans. So what? With their backs against the wall, Philadelphia got one. But damn, all the crying of the fans. And then even some of you fans thinking the series is over. It's not over. It could end tomorrow night, though. 877-337-6666. You're playing right into their hands. Have faith in your team. It's not time to be shook now. It's not time to be scared now. Oh, they're buying up tickets. I saw Lil Dicky went on Twitter last night. And now, you know, Lil Dicky replies to my tweets. So I was already following him. I already, you know, appreciate LD. I Am Dave. That show is great. Every freestyle he does on Sway in the Morning, Sirius XM, he absolutely destroys. I'm a big fan of LD. He's a Sixers fan. And he goes out there and he sends a tweet out, and I got to pull that up. And I'll pull out the Michael Rubin tweet and all that, because, like, you guys got to understand, all this crying all day, let this be the end of it. Let my show be the end of it. Knicks fans, call up with some confidence. Act like New Yorkers. Act like you're the two seed. Act like you've been there. So, yeah, last night, Lil Dicky comes out and says, Sixers fans, stop selling your effing tickets and show up for game effing six. And I laughed. I said, watch, they're going to listen to him. And then today, we hear the owner, the billionaire owner of the Sixers, who usually sits courtside with Meek Mill and Lil Uzi and probably Lil Dicky and whoever else. This guy decided to go buy 2,000 tickets. Yeah, whatever. Chump change. Money's just going back into your pocket. Josh Harris, David Blitzer, affiliated, those are owners of the New Jersey Devils as well. David Edelman and Michael Rubin bought more than 2,000 tickets for Sixers Game 6. He says, we absolutely cannot let Knicks fans take over our arena again, giving them to first responders, healthcare professionals, and other local Philadelphia-based organizations once we know they're legit Sixers fans and not imposters. Let's go, Sixers. We can do that. You're playing right into their hands. They're listening on the free Odyssey app to WFAN, to fans crying all day, rehashing the last few minutes of the game. How come we weren't talking about the beginning of the game? It's one game. And it's basketball, Susan. Well, I don't know if you can say Susan. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get every break. It's a series. That's why it's a seven-game series. So brush it off. Shake it off. Because these guys have to. These guys have to wake up tomorrow with the will to win. These guys got to wake up tomorrow with ending the Sixers season on their minds. And if you're a Knicks fan, it's not time to get cold feet. It's not time to be afraid. And if you have the means to go down there and sit in there, go. I know the afternoon drive guys are going. Evan and Tiki show is going to be down there. I swear, all day I couldn't listen to the radio. I couldn't watch TV. I'm like, damn, these Knicks fans won't stop the pouting, the pity party. Okay, so you didn't get the Knicks in five, gentlemen sweep. You didn't get the party in the streets, but you're up in the series. You can end the series tomorrow night in game six, or maybe because you're licking your wounds, because you're rehashing every play that didn't go your way, maybe the Sixers do have a battery in their back and feel like Joel Embiid's prophecy is about to come true. Maybe you get a 50-point game out of Embiid. So what? If you lose, you get game seven at home. The two best words in sports are game seven. Now, I know that's going to scare a lot of you, but at least it's in your building. 877-337-6666. You got me till 2 a.m. Yankee fans, call me up about Luis Gil, Oswaldo Cabrera, the young guys coming through to get it done. And shout out to Jose Trevino, too. And Clay Holmes, too. And Caleb Ferguson, too. And the Mets almost made it happen. And we can talk about that rule with blocking the plate. It is what it is. You're at the mercy of whoever is calling the game and what they think or don't think. And it sucks. You know, that's baseball, Susan. They literally can say, nope, don't feel like he was blocking the plate. That's the game. 1-0, we want to go back to the hotel. So Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m., taking your calls on the Mets loss and that nonsense at the end of the game, taking your calls on the Yankees win and what you think about Luis Gil, Oswaldo Cabrera. And I know even though we won, Yankee fans are going to complain about Aaron Judge, Anthony Volpe, some other guys in the lineup as well, and it's merited. Everybody's got over 100 at-bats. It's May now. There's been plenty of time for guys to get right, and somehow they get to 20 wins without the captain being the captain, without Volpe being the, you know, prodigy he's supposed to be, with Rizzo going 0 for tonight, Glaber going 0 for tonight, and they're missing Alex Verdugo. They're missing DJ LeMahieu. They're missing Gerrit Cole. Jason Dominguez is about a month and a half away. It'll be all right. Let's talk sports. The Fan in New York. Let's take this break, and we'll be right back. All right, let's do it, man. 877-337-6666. Your nighttime host, Keith McPherson. We're about to talk about the Mets, the Yankees, the Knicks, and I don't know, maybe we'll talk about Daniel Jones and sprinkle some other stuff in as the night goes on. As we proceed to give you what you need, 101.9 FM, The Fan in New York. Let's go to Rhode Island. Craig, are you there? Craig from Rhode Island, first up on The Fan.
Hey, Keith, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I just wanted to start with the Alonzo stuff tonight. I guess it's actually an older rule than I thought. For whatever reason in my mind, I thought the catcher's interference blocking the plate was more recent, but I guess it actually dates back to like 2014.
Yeah, I said they call it the Buster. Buster Posey, yeah.
Yeah, correct, which I was looking into. I was kind of unfamiliar with that. I'm sure I heard it at some point. But for me watching it, I was actually, you know, I'm a huge Mets fan. But from my perspective, I was actually happy in the sense that I felt the umpires got the call right. I don't think that the catcher actually was interfering with Alonzo getting to the plate. I think the catcher on the Cubs did his role. So I was glad to see tonight that the catcher's role of protecting the plate was upheld. What was disappointing for me was Alonzo just not getting his hand down. And Alonzo even going in head first as opposed to sliding with his feet. But then I'm thinking, well, why is Alonzo even running in? Why wasn't he pinch run for tonight? And it goes back to Lindor leaving the game early with flu-like symptoms, yeah. Wendell going in there. So Mendoza tonight, I really felt it was the first night where we got to see just sort of how difficult it is to manage a game like this. And obviously he wasted his bench that in those big moments, we just didn't have it.
Yeah, I don't know. Thanks for the call, Craig. I'll say this. Now I'm rewatching this, and it was funny. With the rejoin music came in, and I'm watching the Mets postgame on SNY. I have no problem with Pete being in the game and not being pinch run, especially if you tie the game and this goes extra innings, and then who knows? He's not the most fleet of foot guy, but he's not slow either, or like he's able to run, whatever. When I'm looking at this slide, he got his hand in there, but his left hand was in there and it came up. Maybe if he tries to slide around with his right, he's better off, but the catcher is literally standing on top of the plate. So what's blocking the plate? Standing on it is blocking the plate. He's not standing behind it. His left foot is in the middle of the plate. The tag is down. I don't know. It is what it is. But yes, this has been around for a while. And what I said in my open, I think it was a Texas Rangers game I saw last year where they literally challenged it and awarded the run to the runner because the catcher was blocking the plate. And I don't even think the catcher, or I don't even think the runner touched the plate, but they're like, no, because of the rule, it's at the ump's discretion, and the run scores. So I feel like it could have went either way. Francisco Lindor exits the game early, and everyone's new favorite player, Joey Wendell, comes in. Francisco Lindor had flu-like symptoms. Happens. I don't know. It's a weird time of year with allergies and weather changing and people being sick. This whole radio station was sick over the last month, myself included. Yeah, it is what it is. But yeah, just that play. I don't know, Pete. If you're going, go. And it's close. It's a bang bang play. And I know Pete felt like he was in there. I did see in the post game. He said, honestly, that's really not for me to decide. I hustled as hard as I could. I made the best slide I could possibly make. The umpire said I was out, so I was out. And that's it. That's it. Game. A one run game. And that was the difference in tying it right there. Mark is in Lindenhurst, New York, on the Fan next. What's up, Mark?
Keith, how's it going? I saw that last half inning. And my opinion was, initially, I didn't think he was blocking the plate as the ball was coming to him. It looked like he was, like, kind of standing behind it. Then he kind of moved up. But I think it was one of those plays, if the ump would have called him safe, that would have held up, too. It looked like a tough call. But I when you look at it, how does the umpire see whether his hand was on home or not? Because I think the ump was behind the catcher, it looked like. So
they have video. In real time is one thing. But then when they just took the last 5 minutes to look over the video, I'm watching the video. The catcher was standing dead center of the plate. His left knee comes down to slightly block the plate. And Pete still got his hand in there.
Yeah, he got his hand in, but it was tough to see if his hand was down or not. Tough call. I mean, like I said, if the umpire would have called him safe, they probably would have upheld that, too.
Exactly. That's the other part of it, Mark. How they call it in real time, there's got to be indisputable evidence to overturn it. So since he punched him out right there, game, they're not going to go to the video monitor and change that when it's bang-bang.
Agree. Point on the Yankees, if I may. I don't know if their offense is ever going to be able to sustain anything of anything that resembles consistency. It just seems like, other than Soto, who's been consistent all year, it just seems like all the other characters have been doing what they've been doing for a few years now. Get hot a few games and then go back. It's just, you're starting to wonder, And,
yeah, it's not good enough. The approach isn't good enough. It was good for the first three series of the year. Now it seems like it's Juan Soto or nothing. Or get lucky. Yeah. Somebody get lucky. Or go to Milwaukee and score 15 runs. I don't know. It's not consistent enough. That is inconsistency.
Never. Right. I would like to see us not have to rely on Volpe as a leadoff hitter, because to this point I don't think he's it. He's gone down drastically since they put him in there. I don't know if it's a mindset. You don't know, but
it was premature move.
He's curtailed.
It was a premature move.
I think so.
They got cute. The manager told the world, "Oh, we'll look up in 10 years and he'll be there." And that made us all think they're not moving this kid yet. Good. And a lot of us, myself included, said, "Don't do it. Don't move him. This guy's playing like Mookie Betts the first three series."
Yeah, I agree. I didn't want to move either, but they had no options in their mind because Torres is doing nothing, and I don't look at him as a leadoff hitter either. But what are you going to do?
Whose fault is that? It's their fault for not trading Gleyber Torres. It's their fault for believing, Gleyber Torres is the best hitter on a 500 team the year before. DJ goes down. Right. He's going to be our leadoff. I said from the beginning, Verdugo led off for the Red Sox. You just saw the difference it made putting Verdugo in the cleanup spot. Why wouldn't the first move be to put Verdugo in the leadoff spot before the 22-year-old second-year kid Volpe, who was playing like an all-star? Oh, Keith, he wasn't going to bat 450. No S, but at the same time, he looks like a different guy now. His eye changed. His approach is different. He's pressing because he's got to face Corbin Burnes first out of the gate.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. Labadale, definitely not offering him a contract.
No, I can't even watch Gleyber Torres at this point. We're just going through the motions with the kid.
Yeah, no, it's too bad. Well, in any event, enjoy your show when I get a chance. And I look forward to listening to the rest for the little time I have left in the car. Take care, okay?
Thanks, Mark. I wasn't yelling at you. I'm just passionate about sports, specifically my New York Yankees. This is supposed to be all-in year. We're supposed to win the World Series this year. 877-337-6666. Larry's in Cranford, New Jersey on the Fan. You got it, Larry.
Hi, Keith. Well, I'm going to just say what everyone else has been saying. Torres, Volpe, Stanton, you know, and the other two guys, 0-18 tonight. And Volpe with three strikeouts, your mother and my mother could have done at the plate what Volpe did tonight.
It's not good enough. And it's okay.
Not good enough.
It's okay to call these guys out. It's okay to be honest. I love the kid. I think he's going to be a great player. I love the Yankees. I think they can have a great team. But I think it was a premature move to move him to the leadoff spot. And now
somebody,
he's not effective there. If we look at the numbers, he's like slightly better than Glaber was. I don't know.
Terrible. Somebody needs to tell Stanton, cleanup doesn't mean cleanup by hitting into double plays.
Or swinging at, like you're swinging a broom. Swinging at something 7 feet off the plate like you got a broom to get to it.
It's horrible. It's horrible to watch these guys.
It's tough. And Larry, you sound like a guy that watches the Yankees every night like me. It's enough of a sample size to be like, hey, the approach is wrong. This isn't good enough. These guys get paid $40 million a year, $32 million a year. They're veterans. Like, come on now.
It's terrible.
In the middle of the lineup.
And like the caller before said the same thing. Like, you don't know if these guys are going to get out of it, you know? It's like a funk they can't get out of.
It's concerning because it's happening against a division rival. It's happening against good pitching. When they face good pitching, when they face a team like tonight, I mean, like I said, three isn't the magic number. It was. The Yankees have a great record or chance of winning when they score more than three runs. Man, one swing of the bat by Oswaldo and obviously Trevino getting on base right before him. Man, the bottom of the order gets it done.
By the way, I would have Oswaldo lead off. He would be a good leader.
I'm not opposed to it. So, I know he cooled off some, but like I'm not opposed to it because right now him and Volpe have the exact same batting average.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith, love listening to you. Thank you. Thank you for being on the air.
Thanks for the call, Larry. I don't know, bros. Like, I know I'm not tripping. I know it's not just me. I sit down and I watch these games. I got a big-ass TV. I got a 75-inch TV, and I'm watching these at-bats, and I'm like, come on, man. Not good enough. Come on, Judgy. Come on. Like, how quickly they're able to erase the weekend. But, like, I knew the weekend. I wasn't going into Baltimore. I wasn't fooled that they were going to score 15 runs in Baltimore. Different team, different pitching, different ballpark, different situation. It's early, though. No, you can't tell me it's early anymore. It's May. Matt is in Monroe. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Keith. How are you?
Great.
Yeah, I think we spoke last week about the whole booing of Judge.
Perfectly fine.
Can you imagine in the last 10 years if anybody, any Yankee fan would ever say to themselves, "I'm going to miss Verdugo"?
How ridiculous is that? I was talking about it the other night. I hated this guy when he was on the Red Sox. I thought he was a clown. I was at one of those Yankee games where he was whooping it up with the people in left field. And I'm like, don't do that, dummy. Don't do that. Don't get those fans going. They'll be on you all night.
Yeah, why would you get him riled up? Yeah.
I was applauding today watching the game. I'm like, yes, he had his daughter. I'm telling my wife. He just had his third child.
Know, right?
His daughter was born. He's expected back tomorrow. We need that guy.
No kidding. But I wasn't able to make the game tonight. I had to go to the Patriot game. But I did want to say we might have something special in this Luis Gil here.
I think so, too. I mean, he's young. He's coming off Tommy John.
Wow.
They're going to monitor his pitches. But, like, his command, because he does walk some guys.
Well, that's the thing. He actually had that 7-walk game, but he still kept us in the game.
Well, his composure.
He's gotten to where he's
I'm trying to find the word.
Got,
like,
yeah.
His control, his composure, just, like, for such a young guy, he even said he's gone back and looked at film of his own body language, and he's trying to tighten that up. He's got a great poker face. Like, this is a guy that's going to strike guys out. This is a guy that throws hard. And as he,
I mean,
that's why I made the joke. Hey, who needs Corbin Burns? We got this guy for the low.
No kidding. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, it's impressive. I like him a lot.
Yeah,
so
me too.
That Patriot game, I did have, they played terrible. And so did Spencer, but
I got to get down there. I was just talking to the equipment manager with the Somerset Patriots because I need to get my hands on that Jersey Diners. Like, I need that jersey, the hat. I need all that stuff. I'm trying to get that merch.
Yeah, absolutely. They got a kid, Pristana. My son and I were like, we've got a lot of movement on his ball. Let's put it that way. The only good thing about the game, he pitched two innings, struck out three guys. I don't know. Something to think about if you ever hear of him.
Yeah, I'll definitely look into it. Thanks for the call, Matt. Yeah, shout out to Corey from the Somerset Patriots who was listening one night when I was like, yo, I'm a Jersey guy. I've probably ate at 15 different New Jersey diners, and I need that Jersey Diners jersey, hoodie. I need all that. I just need that merch. I just think it's a cool idea. It's a cool look. And he reached out. He's like, yeah, come to a game. So I do have to figure out when I can get to a Somerset Patriots game. I think it's probably going to be later in the summer, June or July. And I know they're not that often. And also, I got to drive there. But, yeah, I think I was trying to line it up to go see DJ LeMahieu rehab start, and that didn't go so well. He exited the game with foot soreness in, like, the second inning or whatever it was. But, anyway, back to the topics that we're speaking on, right? I said I was looking for Knicks fans to call tonight and be confident, right? By the time my show ends tonight, it's Thursday, game 6 in Philadelphia. Don't start shaking in your boots, man. Your thoughts become things. That's why I'm not even a Knicks fan. That's why I couldn't listen to it today. I couldn't watch Stephen A., even Michael Kay and them guys talking about it. Obviously, our guys talking about it from the morning, midday to afternoon, the crying, the complaining, the rehashing. So what? It's one game. When you won game two, by the grace of the basketball gods, it was, oh, best thing ever, DiVincenzo, the shot, Jalen Brunson. All that's basketball. Act like you've been there. Somebody call me with some positive energy. Somebody call me with some confidence. Evan is in Manhattan next up on the Fan, and it's not Evan Roberts.
You're right. It's the more sensible Evan. How you doing, Keith?
Great. Thanks for calling.
All right, man. Listen, I love that. I don't know if you had a couple beers tonight. I love that impassioned opening about the Knicks. I mean,
no,
you're really.
I'm not even a Knicks fan, and I'm dead ass sober.
I know, man.
It was like, all day today. I'm like, act like you guys have been in a playoff series. You're up.
All right. Well, you got a confident Knicks fan here.
Good.
So I'm not going to say that, you know, last night wasn't tough taking it on the chin. You know, hard hits that shot. Boom, Brunson doesn't throw it away. You know, you got to foul the guy. Charles Barkley made his first good point, I think, in like 10 years. But the bottom line is, he's made all those mistakes. You still were a hair away from winning. I like the idea of going in and putting it in the Sixers' faces and taking it in Philly. I like it. I'm pumped. I'm going Joe Willie Namath and guaranteeing the victory tomorrow night because Brunson's the type of dog that is like, that ain't happening again. So right. I'm pumped up. We get an extra game. I'm with you. The one thing I'll say, and I'm going to end before you cut me off with a question about the Knicks for you, because maybe you could illuminate it or I missed it. But I think what they need to do tomorrow, and as great as he played two games ago, you know this isn't my main question, but you know Precious Achiuwa didn't get in the game last night, right? Or Tuesday night, right?
Yeah, he's got to be involved, especially, you know, go ahead.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, he was so good on Embiid, and, you know, Robinson was good again. Hartenstein is in a great matchup defensively. They have him in for other reasons. But by the overtime, those guys were white.
Right.
You got an athletic guy.
Fresh legs.
Maybe he was a throw-in, but he ends up being our best, like, you know, man-on-man, big.
Yep.
He's a great athlete. He was fresh. Could have done what he did.
He's from the Bronx. He's ready to put it on the line for New York.
Yep. You know it, man. So they got to get him involved. That gives Robinson a blow, Hartenstein a blow. gives Embiid fits with this thin, athletic, just tough dude who ended up being more than we ever thought he would be coming along, you know, in that trade. So we got to do that. My question for you, my friend, and go Knicks, but is where is Randle? Is he on the bench? Is he on in a VIP suite? It's like they don't want to show him. Where is he?
Oh, I mean, he's out of sight, out of mind. But he's actually not, because I heard his name mentioned a ton today with Knicks fans crying about, oh, well, you know, this is where we miss Julius Randle. You weren't saying that game one and two. I'll say this. I don't care where Julius Randle is. He can't play. I don't need to see him on camera. I don't need to see his wife, his kid. I hope they're well. I hope they're good. But he was ruled out weeks ago. So wherever he is, I'm glad that he's not on the bench, right? It's not about you. You can't help. And you know what? In the past, he has gotten the brunt of the criticism, the ridicule. Just last year, they were pulling his poster down after the series. People were pointing the finger at him. I think there's definitely a part of him that's sitting back saying, well, see how you guys do without me.
Yeah, well, Embiid wouldn't have got away with half those cheap shots, that's for sure.
Of course, because he's an enforcer. He's a big dog. He's a physical player, 25-10. They're already out rebounding the Sixers. It would be even more with Randle when Brunson needs another person to score the ball. We don't know who the second scorer is. It isn't DiVincenzo. It isn't Hart. It isn't OG Anunoby. Yep. Randle would be there to get you that 20, 25 points.
Absolutely. And I don't care where he is either. I just found it curious. Usually they have the big gun who's out for the year, like on there cheering or these sort of shots of course. Him. I'm just curious.
The television production companies
with management.
Huh? They have it written in, hey, find where Julius Randle is and get a camera on him so Mike Breen and Clyde can mention whatever. He might be in a suite somewhere. He might be somewhere out of the camera's eye, and I think that's good. Thanks for the call, Evan. 877-337-6666. Let the Sixers fans show up with the battery in their back. Bring out every celebrity from Philadelphia they can find. All the rappers, all the actors, influencers. I don't even know some of these randoms. Get the people from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Have Spike Eskin ring the bell. Just so you can beat them again, take over their building again, and then it's curtains, blouses, game, series. 877-337-6666. That's the type of time I'd be on. You barely survive. It took you overtime. Maxi traveled. That's another thing, too. These two-minute reports and the things that come out after game. NBA says Tyrese Maxi traveled on his late four-point play. Well, what does that do now? Yeah, I graduated, but, you know, a bunch of people were writing my papers, and I had all the Scantron answers to the exams. Like, what does that matter? We don't need to know. The two-minute report just kind of makes it worse. But, man, if I'm a Knicks fan, which I'm not, but I'm a sports fan, I've been watching the NBA my entire life, it's a series, bro. And the NBA wants these series to go seven games. It's about to go six. But end it. And that's how the players have to feel. They have to go in there with a dog mentality. What happened to all the dudes and dogs? I didn't hear too much of that today either. They got to be dudes. They got to be dogs. They got to go do damage. Go do damage in front of Lil Dicky, Michael Rubin, Meek Mill, Lil Uzi Vert, the whole cast from Always Sunny, that random dude that's in some movies that goes to Phillies games and shows up sometimes too. Every shot, every goal, ESPN Bet has fans covered for the biggest moments on the road to the championship. The exclusive sportsbook of ESPN is the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the playoffs. New users can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present within the state of New Jersey to participate. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Yeah, yeah. Moving right along. First hour about to be done. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You got me till 2 a.m. 877-337-6666. Man, we're talking about the Mets game. Mets lose 1-0. Jose Buddo bounce back performance, but it gets wasted. A small ball, a little sack fly is the difference in the game. The Mets try to make it happen late. The umps weren't having it. The umps said, nah, you're gone. You're out. Nope. And I guess that's the rule. But the rules are up for interpretation, especially in Major League Baseball. That's a ball. That's a strike. That's fair. That's foul. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win. Good stuff. I mean, if they would have lost tonight, I would have came in here with just different energy about this Yankees team, this lineup, this manager, Brian Cashman in the front office. I wouldn't have had one bad word to say about Juan Soto. Juan Soto is the man. He's out there with the shades. He got another knock today. He's stealing bases. He is, I mean, I said this earlier. I saw, Ryan Chichester, who does our articles for WFAN, quoted me on this. I'm like, I wish we had 9 Juan Sotos. I wish there were 9 Juan Sotos in the lineup. But the number 9 hitter gave a lot of credit to Juan Soto. He said he's been watching that guy all through spring training. He's been watching his batting practice. He's been watching him in the cage. Oswaldo is different. None of you saw this coming. I heard host on this station tell me that Oswaldo could not hit. I heard fans call up and say, Oswaldo? Well, I don't know. They got to do something. DJ down. They got to do something. Maybe they get Gio Urshela. No, Oswaldo's good. And I know he's not the best player on the team. I know he cooled off a little bit. But, man, there is something about watching baseball players that have that clutch gene, that it factor, that spark when you need it. And I swear I see that with that kid. When the game is stagnant, when the game is quiet like it was tonight, you saw him do that in Houston. I mean, you saw him do that in the postseason a couple years ago. When somebody needs to make a play, when somebody needs to break a game open, here comes quietly number 95, Oswaldo Cabrera. So stay tuned for my Casamigos big shot of the night dead giveaway. And, you Knicks fans, we're an hour away from Wednesday and the wambulance and the, I can't believe it. They choked and Mitchell Robinson. Come on, Jalen Brunson. You got to be better than that. What is this coach doing? Man, it's one game. You're going to lose a game. You're playing against the defending MVP who on one leg absolutely proclaimed that they would win the series. You're the 2 seed, actually, because this guy missed so many games, and they became the 7 seed. It is what it is, man. You got lucky in this series, too. You got away with some calls, too. But ultimately, I think you're the better team in the series. Act like it. Don't be a shook one now. Now that Philadelphia is going to mount up. Oh, and now they're going to show up. Yeah, get your Allen Iverson jerseys out. Get your Andre Iguodala jerseys out and show up. Get your Ben Simmons jerseys out and show up to Wells Fargo Center to take the L and watch your team play the last game of their season. 877-337-6666. Something I did want to hit you guys with, and it's always NFL season. I did see Jordan Renan talk about Daniel Jones a little bit today. I clipped it and put it in my notes. Just some to think about. It's always Giants conversation, Daniel Jones conversation. We don't have to have the Zach Wilson conversation anymore. The Broncos are not picking up the 5th-year option on Zach Wilson. Yeah, because they have Jared Stidham. They have Ben DiNucci. Oh, and they drafted Bo Nix. Zach Wilson probably doesn't see the field outside of preseason training camp. But Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN, writes on Twitter that Daniel Jones said he's been cutting and doing everything as he rehabs. Plan remains to be ready for camp. Well, I'll be darned. If you listen to me on The Fan, I'm like, I don't think that guy's going to be ready for training camp. I just don't think the math is mathing the timeline. You can't sell me that this guy tore his ACL when he did, got the surgery when he did. Maybe he's got Wolverine-like healing powers, or maybe that's a lie. Asked about Giants flirtation with the QB and Drake May, Daniel Jones says he's focused on what he can control. That's one thing you got to like about Daniel Jones. Because some quarterbacks will lean into, yeah, I didn't love it. Or even like Kirk Cousins, who didn't play a damn down for the Falcons, is already talking about he was shocked and confused and his agent was shocked and they didn't understand. Yeah, well, I'll break it down to you the way I did on draft night. You haven't played it down. You're recovering from an Achilles. They don't owe you anything. The move was always Michael Penix Jr. Raheem Morris got the job as head coach, flew out west to go see Michael Penix Jr. throw quietly, privately. Everybody else said in the mock draft they were getting Dallas Turner. No, they were always getting their quarterback of the future and getting a quarterback that can step in and play right now if healthy. So, man, it's a quarterback-driven league, and you need two of those guys. Last thing with Daniel Jones, speaking on the Giants' 6th overall pick, not being a quarterback, not being Michael Penix Jr., and it being Malik Nabers, he says, I'm excited. And noted he's a dynamic player. I don't know what Daniel Jones excited looks like. He's pretty even keeled, so I'm sure he's ecstatic, but he probably didn't do any backflips over the fact that they drafted Malik Nabers and tried to trade up to get Drake May. Okay, here we go. Mets talk, Yankees talk, Knicks talk, of course, and I just sprinkled in a little bit of the Giants. Let's go to the break and the update. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.